Let's give another hand for Mary Beth. She is so awesome. You know, you can see the goodness and the love in her heart that just really is just extraordinary. You know, there's always those special, unique people that have those unique gifts. And I would have to say that Mary Beth carries that thoughtfulness, love, and giving in her heart. You know, she's a Mary and a Martha. How many people understand who a Mary is and a Martha? Martha is one who is always doing the work and the service, and Mary is the one that's just in la-la land. Oh, well, that's Mary Beth. She's just full of Mary's love and Martha's, you know, service, so to say. And she does these little things like the poinsettias and stuff like that. I mean, just very beautiful, and I just am very grateful for her. And so thank you. Amen. You know, we are approaching a new year. And in the new year, there's always challenges. And as I was seeking the Lord for his message today, he kept speaking to me about patience. And I hope and pray that this message will just anoint us, and his spirit will come and just give us this gift of patience, so to say. Because in our lives, we get so frustrated, so discouraged about things that are happening in our lives that we just can't seem to find rest. And God's desire for us is to come into his rest. And in order for us to come into his rest, we need a power. And this power needs to give us some patience. And this patience needs to get us to settle our hearts down so that we're not at, you know, uneasy. And I want to bring a verse up out of the Bible here to just build on this. And it's in James. It's in James chapter 1, actually, and starts out in verse 2. But verse 1 is just basically James giving the Lord praise. But in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, I look at various trials as really everything that goes against your wants. Think about it. You know, you want a certain thing, you want a certain way, you want things to happen a certain time, and just, you know, you just want. And when you don't get what you want, it's a trial. How many people understand what it's like to have trials in your life? How many people really understand what it's like to have a want and then be tormented by it? It's every day, all day. We wake up, we want. And look at the situations, from littlest things to the big things. Sometimes we look at the big things and we neglect the little things, but those little wants, they rob from us. How many times have we been discouraged and didn't really have an overwhelming amount of joy in our heart because for some reason when we cracked our egg open, the yolk broke. And we really like the egg with the yolk. And it's like, oh, it broke. Just think about the little discouragements that happen in our lives. And I just feel that God is saying, I want us to come up higher. I want us to come to a greater place of joy in our lives. And when we can start rejoicing in all things, and again, keep rejoicing in all things, I believe our lives begin to change and they become blessed. I believe blessings come in rejoicing. I believe blessings come when you change your heart and take the discouragement out, because we're walking around with so much open doors for the enemy, and believe me, it's alive. The dark world is alive. They're out there to steal, kill, and destroy. I spoke a message one Wednesday about the dark world that, you know, we live in, and if you didn't get that message, please log on and find it. But there's a world that is alive and living that's around us that we can't see. We're carnally minded, meaning we only see with our carnal eyes, so we only look and think and feel what we actually can physically see. But if we look in our spiritual world and our spiritual eyes, we can see the darkness and the light that is around us. I prefer to look at the light. You know, the darkness has no power over me. The light is encamped around me, and I'm very grateful for the light. But yet I do see the darkness, and I don't ignore the darkness. I'm constantly walking in God, saying, Lord, walk with me so I don't fall into these traps, because we're all subject to traps. How many people understand that? Okay. So we all fall short of his glory. And if we keep that broken, contrite heart, God will always walk with us. And don't ever think that we're not subject to fall. We're all subject to fall. We're all subject to fall into temptation. We're all subject to fall into sin. And I'll get into a deeper understanding about sin later, but I don't want us to get so caught up in sin, because it doesn't exist. And I'm going to tell you why it don't exist. It says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And this is what needs to be done. You can't develop patience. Patience has to be given to you by you producing faith. And I guess that's where you have to come to a place of surrender. You just start surrendering. Oh, well, I can't make, you know, the borders, right, issue out those papers. I have a great testimony about a brother who I love dearly. He has a fiance who is overseas, and she can't come to America unless they release some sort of immigrant papers, right? Is that what I'm saying, immigrant papers? And, you know, it can be very frustrating. Think about it. Somebody that you love very deeply, you know, can't come to you, you know, and it's like being held up by, you know, legal documents, and nobody's really paying attention, and kind of like puts it on the back burner, like they don't care, you know. And in the meantime, your heart's being ripped out. Wouldn't you think that that's a trial? Wouldn't you think that that's temptation? And so, graciously, as we surrender, God does miracles and makes those things happen. Well, recently we got a testimony that the papers came through when it was prophesied that he would be getting married in July. July or August, one of those months, I think, where there was no way to be able to see it. God makes a way to be able to see it now. And what I truly believe is for us to receive a prophetic word, and some of you might get a prophetic word today, I want you to be able to receive that prophetic word with joy. Don't get discouraged in your heart, because I truly believe when we are not tested by faith and it produces patience, his miracles can't happen in your life. God's miracles cannot take place in your life. And how many of us really want miracles in our lives? Okay. Well, if I told you that you're robbing your miracle, would you believe me? Because, and listen, you're not at fault. I don't hold you against you robbing your miracles, because you're doing it without understanding. You're doing it because you're falling in lack of knowledge. God says, my children suffer and they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And this knowledge is not a book knowledge. This knowledge is not something that you have to go to college for, or you can learn from the internet or something. This knowledge is given from revelation. This knowledge is given from God from above. It's supernatural, it's miraculous, it's miracles, it's signs, it's wonders. It comes from a place that no one knows. And we are enlightened by revelation. just like the book of Revelations of Jesus Christ. We're enlightened about this individual that received a prophetic word, and in Isaiah he spoke about it and closed the book and said, this day is the day. How many people know that verse? Amen. And so he had a revelation. And I believe his heart was not troubled after that. And then the heavens opened up. I believe in all of us that God has put his son in all of us. I look at his son as not 2,000 years ago, the man Jesus. But I look at his son as a divine being, Christ, the seed of the Spirit of God living in each and every one of us. And as we are transformed and our minds are renewed in Christ, renewed and we become a new creature in him, we receive revelation. And through this revelation, our lives are changed. You can't change without revelation. Knowledge from above, if it doesn't fall on you, your life is not going to change. I'm here to speak the mysteries. The mysteries have been given to me to transfer the mysteries over to you. And if you ask for the Lord, if you ask for wisdom, it will be given to you too. So it's not like you just have to keep hearing from me. You can ask too. Lord, show me why my life is the way it is. Show me what is going on that is creating, and I'm going to tell you, sin. And in sin, what happens is it produces where your hope is stolen, where your glory is stolen. Now, sin isn't anything like bad. I look at sin as thieves, a right to rob, steal, kill, destroy. And when sin is in our life, all it's doing is robbing, killing, stealing, destroying your hope, your life. Because without hope, you have no life. Now, there's something living inside of us, which is called Christ. And that divine being is to give you a new life, to transfer you over to a new creation. So that when you're enlightened and realize that you're a child of God, you begin to commune with my God, our God, the God of signs and wonders and miracles. As you begin to break yourself down and realize that you're nothing but a mere man and you can't survive in this world without God, when you start to realize that you're nothing and you're just a mere woman and can't survive in this world without the child of God living inside of you, we begin to cry out. I said earlier that you can't find God. God finds you. And until you start to realize that you're nothing and you need him, your heart begins to get broken. When you become sick and tired of struggling and fighting, then all of a sudden your heart begins to break. How many people realize when you get really tired, you get to the point where you just give up? And you just stop. That's it. I quit. I'm done. And what do? You end up just parking your butt on the couch or something and just, that's it. I'm done. The day's over. I quit. Well, you enter a rest. You finally give up. And that, in the eyes of God, he's like, oh, finally. Now I can work my power. Now I can work myself in their life. Now I can become real to them. Now I can expose myself and they'll see that it's not them, it's me. This is how God works. And so what he wants us to do is he wants us to come to a place of revelational knowledge. And this revelational knowledge that I share, we take it, begin to apply it. Look, you might not be able to see it right now. You might think it's real foolish to start laughing at trials. anybody in their right mind has every reason to be mad. When things aren't going the way you want them, and you know, and things just ain't happening the way you would like to see them happen, and you have loss of like a job, or you have a loss of something, of a loved one or whatever, you have every right to be mad, right? When a child is bad or whatever is happening, you know, you have every right to feel that way. It's crazy to start laughing at it. You know, so what? You know, my kid's out of control and an idiot. You know, well, you know, I lost my job. It doesn't matter. You know, people would think you're going nuts, right? How many people would think you're going nuts? Come on. I even look at myself and say, this is nuts. How am I supposed to rejoice in this? It's nuts. It's insane. Am I losing my mind? I go to my wife. Am I losing my mind? I must be losing my mind. You should be upset about this stuff. You should have some concern and care. And then I say to myself, you know what? I do have a concern. You know, you have a great concern for your loved one. It's normal. But we need to rejoice now. Having anger and bitterness towards it, it's opening a door for the dark world to rob him, to steal from him, to kill him, and destroy. And that's the last thing that we want from anyone or anything. We're the cause of our own destruction because of lack of knowledge, because of the lack of revelation. And that's why I say to the world, why my God? Why my God? There are many gods out there, but my God is a God that is alive, is living, and it comes through revelational knowledge. You can't see these miracles if you manifest what you're manifesting. If you're upset and you're discouraged and you're kicking the sand, you think things are going to change to the good? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I'm going to say it again. It's going to get worse. And our lives are being destroyed. We're living in sin. And this is the sin. Our attitude of not being grateful. Our attitude of not rejoicing. Our attitude of not giving praise. Our attitude of not giving thanks. Our attitude of rejoicing. Our attitude of not going nuts. We literally need to lose our mind and get a new mind. And that mind needs to be renewed in Christ. And that Christ mind is something that gets you to a place of thinking completely opposite to what you think. I'm going to say it again. You have every right to feel the way you feel. So thank God that you have those feelings. You didn't lose a love. You didn't lose a care. But this is where it starts. You got to give it up. You got to let it go. If you hold on to it, that's where it becomes sin. I want the world to understand what sin is. It's not doing things bad. I'm going to tell you right now, throw that out of your dictionary. That's just your righteousness. Oh, I do good. Jesus himself said no one is good. The man who was called God said, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but my Father in heaven." So we have to say to ourselves, what is good? You know what's good? The mind of Christ. You know what's good? Rejoicing in all things. Again, I say rejoice. You know what's good? When your faith produces patience. I'm going to tell you right now, your son will be saved. I'm going to tell you right now, his life will change if you believe me. If you believe the words that I say, your life will turn around and things will get better. But what is going on in our heart right now? We're grumbling. We're murmuring. You know what's happening? We're falling out of faith. We're falling out of belief. We're not giving our life to God and letting God work these things out. We're walking around harboring death. We're walking around harboring sickness. We're harboring these things that are allowing the dark world that we can't see affect our lives. You know, God says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking it by force. And the reason why the violence is taking it by force is because we as children of God are walking around in ignorance. We can't bring ourselves in subjection and put God in our lives. Now, I'm telling you, you have every right to feel the way you're feeling. And I don't want any guilt or shame come on you because of the way you feel. If you didn't feel that way, I would think that you were nuts. But I want you now to let those feelings go. I want you now to let go of that bitterness and that anger and that resentment and those things that are not causing you to have the faith that we need to produce this patience. Who said that things are going to fall apart in your life? We have created imaginations, and we have already created death before it even happened. Now that's the faith that you're producing. You're producing death. You're producing negative things by your faith. Your faith is on the dark side. And I want us to turn our faith around to the light side. We all produce faith. How many people realize that? Okay? You set your heart in a place and you begin faith. Faith begins to start working. Well, you're turning that faith into the dark world, and that dark world is destroying your future. Nobody wants to hear this kind of a message, but I'm sick and tired of seeing his people suffer. I'm sick and tired of seeing God's people being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And it's so hard for us to bring ourselves into submission and lose our minds. But if we don't renew our minds in Christ, we're never going to come out of our situation, and we're going to watch our whole entire world just decay around us. We have so much love and so much care and so much passion, so much drive, that it's causing the dark world to manifest its powers and destroy it around us. When we need to reverse that power and begin to give it to God and say, God, you know my heart, you know what I need, you know what I love, you know what I care about, and these things are in your hands now, so let your power now manifest, because I can't do nothing in my power. And as soon as our hearts begin to connect like that, heaven now begins to work on your behalf. How many of us want heaven to work on our behalf? I want to walk in the realm of glory. I want to walk in the realm of glory. I want to look at these things and say it's so foolish. And if anybody wants to judge me and say that I don't care about my daughter's future, I say, hey, funguli, whatever you want to say to them. Because I know that my heart has a lot of love. And if I'm not kicking the sand and you don't see my cares, oh well, go have a party. Don't judge me. Because I love, but because you might not see my love, don't judge me. I know that each and every one of you have a deep, deep love inside of you. The problem is that we're in sin. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? Everybody thinks that sin is like, you know, doing something bad. Like, not loving or whatever, not caring, not really taking concerns about certain things, maybe overdosing or abusing ourselves. But you know why those things come? It's because we lost our faith. We gave up. Oh, I can't do anything about it, so I think I'll just comatose myself and drink more. Oh, I can't do anything else. Give me another cigarette. Come on, let's think about it. Let's be real. Let's be real. We end up turning ourselves more and more, further and further. And now, the sin that I tell you about becomes sin that you can see. There's a sin that you can't see. And it starts. Let me share something here. Let me see if it says it right here. I don't know. I think it does. It says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfected and complete, lacking nothing. What did that say? It said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Did that say lacking nothing? Lacking nothing. Why don't we have? Because sin is stealing it. Why don't we have? Why aren't those things the way we want them to be? Because it's being stolen. And then it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you can listen to me, and I'm glad that you're listening to me. You know, maybe I plant that little seed and get you kick-started because only you know what's going on in your life. So now start asking God and say, God, what's going on? Why is this happening the way it's happening? And I guarantee he's going to start showing you your murmuring. Why do you think they traveled the desert 40 years? What kept them going around in circles? Because they murmured. How come they never saw the promise? You know what the promise is? Is what you want. The promise is what you desire. The promise is are all the things that you care about. And because of that, we're walking around the desert. We're murmuring. We're complaining. Now remember, you have every right to feel that way. Acknowledge the fact that you're feeling that way, and now make your request known to God. I say it to him all the time. God, I'm pissed. I'm not happy right now. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, and you know what? You got to help me. And as soon as you come to that place, you know what? There's a thing called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace comes and surpasses all your understanding, and next minute you know, it's like he took that thing off your shoulder, off your back, and it's, you know what? You're not carrying it anymore. It's a mystery. It's supernatural. How many of us want the Prince of Peace to come and take the monkey off your back? I'm telling you, I used to walk the jungle and say, monkey, get off! But this monkey loved to hang out until the Prince of Peace came and took the monkey off my back. And the only way it came was when I made my request known. I say, God, you know what? This is really upsetting. You're allowed to feel the way you're feeling. You're allowed. Don't put guilt and shame on yourself. You're allowed. The problem is we're walking around thinking we can manipulate it, think about we can make excuses, think we can control it. We end up comatosing ourselves. We tend up saying bad things. We vent and we say mean things and we say things we don't want to say. How many of us put ourselves in that situation? We end up opening up our mouths and we say mean, rotten things and we end up making them feel guilty and ashamed. And all we're doing is destroying the whole situation. Why? Because of our lack of knowledge. Because of our lack of relationship. God is desiring to have a relationship with us and we are saying, God, I love you, and we're confessing with our lips, but our heart is so far from him. It's going like this. God, I love you. I praise you. He's a wonderful God. And our heart's just grumbling and grumbling and never stops grumbling. We need to mature in God. We need to begin to start taking the trials and the situations that we're in And we really have to say, how I'm feeling is okay. This is where it starts. You know why you keep grumbling? Because inside you're saying it's not right to feel this way. And as soon as you begin to agree with your adversary, as soon as you begin to agree with the way you're feeling, and you know the feeling's wrong, and as soon as you begin to agree with it, it tends to go away. It's okay to feel this way. I want everybody to listen to me. It's okay to feel the way you're feeling. So please, those that are listening here and those that are listening around the world, it's okay. You have every right. How many people are starting to feel a lift off them? A little sense of relief. Amen. Amen. I love it. I'm starting to feel relief too. When I preach this message, God ministers, I'm listening and saying, wow, God, I got to apply what you're saying here. I love him ministering because we all need to be built up. We all need to be set free. We all need to come to his glory. We need to know his love. And the only way that we're going to know God's love is when we apply the revelation of these mysteries. When we call upon his name and we cry out with a broken, contrite heart, he begins to start downloading. And next minute, you know, he starts revealing the mysteries. And then we start saying, oh my God, I never realized that the simplicity of your gospel is so powerful. It's something that is yet so simple, but so difficult to do. Let's see how often we can move forward this week and see us starting to lose our minds and start laughing at the situation. How many of us think we can do that? I hope we can pull it off. I hope we can do it in one shot. It might take a couple, but I hope and pray that this word will ring in your heart. And every time you begin to start grumbling, every time you start to start complaining about something, I hope and pray that you see my face or you hear my voice or something happens and you bring remembrance back to this message. The power in this word will change your life. I'm not expecting you to understand the dark world around us, but I am hoping and praying that you believe the words that I speak and begin to believe and apply, because you will see. You will see God. You will see him do works of miracles, signs, and wonders. This is my God. This is the God that I want to bring to the world. When I heard my testimony and my brother over here ends up giving one of these prayer cloths that I'm holding in my hand, gave to this couple, and instantly miracles and signs and wonders appeared in their life. I said, they see my God. That is the only God I serve, right there. That is my God. And my God doesn't come into people's lives very often. He only comes to those who have a broken heart. Only those who are crying out in need. A cry, not a murmur. It's different. That's why I tried to say to you earlier, it's okay to feel the way you are, because that's a cry. Then it turns into a murmur. Anger comes in with it. Bitterness comes in with it. That's the sin. It starts to taint your care. It starts to pervert your care. It starts to create a lust in your care. Sin creeps in. A little leaven spoils a whole bunch. It says here, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven tossed and fro by every wind. Now, when you begin to start asking God and he starts revealing it to you, don't turn your shoulder. Don't say, oh, no. And then love your life. You know what I mean by love your life? We love to murmur and complain. We love the drama. We like the bitch. Come on, how many of you likes to vent? We feel as though that we're not being heard, so we vent. And then when we vented enough from this person and they didn't tell us what we wanted to hear, what do? We call or go over to this one and we vent. Okay, and then that one doesn't get what we want. We go to that one and we vent. And we keep going until we find our favorite friend. And our favorite friend is the one who gives us what we want. You're right. You should feel that way. He's no good. This one's right. Yep. And we get what we want, and guess what? They become our favorite friend. How many of us have those favorite friends? Come on now. Everybody has a favorite friend because you didn't stop. You didn't stop venting at this one, and you didn't stop until you finally found your favorite friend. I know. I tried to find my friend too. Then I realized nobody wanted to hear it. And then I said, where's all my friends at? So I went to Budweiser. I went to Smokin' Joe. I went to the dance club down the corner. I went to Oxycontin. Come on now. Let's be real. Let's be real. How is the world going to understand and find God if we're not real? How are we going to be able to know the truth so that the truth can set us free? How many of us here really want to know the truth? Amen. Well, if you keep logging on and keep coming out, I'm going to tell you right now, your world is going to change because you're going to hear the truth here. All I want, and this is the rest of my life, is to see you find God, to see you have a relationship where your life is changed so that you get every hope and every desire that's inside of you and that we stop the forces of darkness destroying the world that we live in. My job is for you to have a relationship with the true living God and to put an end to the forces of darkness and to stop the destruction of the souls of those that are out there alive and bring them into eternity. You know, darkness is destroying us every minute of the day. And if you knew how much was creeping at your door, scratching, trying to get in, you would understand. It says here, and I'll be quick and come to an end. It says, let the lowly brother glory in his exhortation, but the rich in his humiliation, because a flower of the field, blah, 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 will pass away. It says here, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I'm going to stop right there, because how many of us truly want blessings? Amen. Hear this word. Stop your nonsense. Stop running around trying to find your best buddy. Put a stop to it. Renew your minds. I'm telling you the simplicity of this. If you stop murmuring, your job will come. If you stop being discouraged, he will come into salvation. Your whole household will be saved. You know why? Because of him. I know the truth. And the truth will set us free. You know, I don't understand why it's so important for the men to come into salvation. Because the salvation of a man is the salvation of a woman. And the salvation of the man is the salvation of the whole entire family. And it continues to go on that way. and those that are widows, when you come into a body like this, it's the priest that saves your household. That's why it's important for the body of Christ, because God loves the widows too. We have to understand the truth so that the people stop suffering. My heart bleeds out and cries every day. And the more that I'm walking in my call, the more I feel like I'm the weeping prophet. All I do is cry all day long for those that are lost in the souls. It's a sickness. I don't know what it is. And I hope God stops it. When my life was totally changed, that one day, I'm going to tell you right now, I wept for 8 months straight, and I couldn't understand why I was weeping. And I truly know now that I was weeping for the souls that are coming in. Those were intercessory type prayers that God was releasing. And who's to say that it wasn't one of you here today? Who's to say that those 8 months and I was weeping and my life was changed were those that are listening to my voice right now over the website around the world? Who's to say that you here today weren't one of the souls that I was weeping for that day when my life was changed? I want everyone to understand that I am here for one reason and one reason only, for your eternal life. And for your whole household and everyone that you love will be saved. That is it. Nothing else. Not to build big buildings. Not to raise big congregations. Not to make a lot of money. One reason and one reason only. I made a commitment in my heart. I'll never go back. My whole world's life now, because of a few select ones, have given me my life. And my life now is to bring those that hear my voice into salvation. To bring them to a place where their desires are filled. How many of us really want the desires in our hearts filled? Well, I know. I have the keys. I hold the keys to the mysteries. It's like I went down the hell, I got them, and I came back up. And I know how to open up your prison doors. I know how to set your captives free. I know how to destroy the works of darkness that are affecting your life. I know how to destroy those darknesses that are causing afflictions, addictions, pains, and sufferings in your life. So keep hearing these words. Keep listening to these messages. Apply the truth to your life, and you will find the God that I serve who will do miracles, signs, and wonders in your life, and you will find a life that is everlasting, and you'll never, never, ever want to go back to the old life. You'll never. You'll have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's like taking a drink of water and never going thirsty again. It's like eating at the banquet table and having the best food ever from the best chef who does the best cooking. Matter of fact, that deer meat was awesome. Thank you. And with that being said, I just want all of our heads bowed for a moment, because I'm going to pray and I want you to come into agreement with me. How many of us truly want this murmuring, this sin to stop in our lives? This is where it begins. This is the little leaven that spoils the whole bunch. God says, rejoice in all things. Again, I say rejoice. I'll tell you what, if God says it twice, we better start listening. So Father, I pray now. We wait on your Spirit. We wait on your power. We wait on your grace, that you begin to hearken us and open up our eyes so that we can see how much we're destroying the world around us, that we're creating the destruction in our lives because of our troubled heart. Put your grace on us to let us know that it's okay to feel the way we feel. Let us know without a shadow of a doubt that the way we feel is okay, and that no guilt or shame will lay on our shoulders, but that we are free from guilt and shame. And then give us the strength in your power to start rejoicing and being grateful in the things that we don't have and the things that we have. And then, Lord, I ask to give us the power of prophecy so that we can begin to call forth those things that don't exist into existence. That we can begin to take all things and turn it around for the good and rejoice and begin to prophesy life. Protect our heart so that we don't prophesy death, but we begin to start speaking those things into existence. So that you can grant us all the glory that is due. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to ask Brother Sam if he can come and close us. He's a gracious man of God, and I just thank him with all my heart. Let's give another hand of praise for him. You know, to put up with me for all these years, it's a blessing. I'm going to tell you that much.
Here. And here, I got these prayer clothes too. So.
All right.
And these too.
You're really quick. Pastor spoke a message on faith, and we said a long time ago, faith is a seed. But it takes believing in that seed with all that you have for that seed to birth. Every one of us have a passion. Every one of us have a hope. Every one of us have a dream. And looking at our lives right now, it seems impossible for those dreams and hopes to come about. Because right now is just another step. But the question is, how do you start believing in your hope, in your passion, in your dreams? Well, it says in Timothy, it says, to that when you have a gift, and for it says that when do not neglect the gift that was given to you by the laying of hands by the presbytery, which means the elders, the leaders. Because what we do here is we recognize the hope, the dream, the passion that only you know, that only you have in your heart, that only you see. See, don't tell anybody in here, because once he recognizes your hope and you didn't tell anybody, then you really know that that hope and that dream came from God. And it's not your imagination. And as soon as someone else recognizes your hope and your dream and your passion within you, there's an explosion that happens. And your dreams and your passions are finally birthed. But we have to maintain that place of believing in that hope. It says this. It says, do not neglect it. It says, give yourself totally to that hope and that dream. Give yourself totally to it. Always focus on that hope. Always focus on that dream. Despite whatever's happening in your life. You know, people in here have children and they're tough. People in here have jobs and it's tough. But listen, God says, I'll never give you more than you can't handle. The people that say, oh, you try my life for a day. Oh, you have no idea how bad I have it. You're putting yourself on an island and you're separating yourself thinking, woe is me. And you're creating a place that you can hide and never have your dreams manifest. Because you're blaming everybody but yourself. You're blaming everybody, but there's nobody to blame. There's nobody to blame for anything. It just is what it is. Your life is what it is. Nothing was done by accident. There are no mistakes. Your choices are made by God. He directs a righteous person's footsteps. We don't direct them. He directs them. So whatever happened in your life was supposed to happen till this point. But if we keep believing and never giving up on that hope within us. Always focus. It says, give yourself totally to your hope, totally to your dream. See, I grew up with a father who, my physical father, was a Catholic growing up and took us to church every Sunday, believed in Catholic, everything, you know, and I believed. I was fine with it, but always felt something was missing, you know, even as a child. But I saw my father, who was raised Irish Catholic, whose parents were strict Irish Catholic, get hit by God one day at a meeting, at a Holy Ghost meeting. And he started dancing. And this man turned his back on everything he believed till that point, and he started following his heart. That's the example that I had. That's why I'm messed up. Because my father told his own parents. He told his own parents in our living room of our house. He said, what you have in the Catholic religion isn't enough. There's no relationship. And his parents got up and walked out. My father's parents, and he didn't follow them. He didn't chase them. He said, I'm following this. The conviction of my heart is what's real. And this is what God's asking from us. We got to follow our heart in everything we do. And these passions and these dreams will cause us to walk a path that's going to follow our hearts. And you need encouragement, and we encourage you in here. That's our job, to encourage you in your hope, in your dream, in your passion. And once you see that he sees what nobody else knows, an explosion happens. Because you really understand that God knows you, and God put that in you, and he loves you enough to give you that. So, in closing, hop on the website, if you can, every day, glorythenations.org. It'll change your life. Every day, stay in the message. Don't put yourself on an island. Don't think nobody knows how bad you have it, because he'll never give you more than you can handle. He evidently thinks you're strong enough to handle it. Me, I don't have any children. It's not tough for me, but I can't handle it. I'm not that kind of person. But you were chosen to have the life you have because you could handle it. Stop fighting. Surrender to the life he gave you and you'll have peace. It's a miracle. All you got to do is cry out to God and you get peace. I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. I have struggles. I have thoughts and I can't get back to bed. I just start praying. And all of a sudden, peace comes in every single time. Don't tell me you can't find peace. All you got to do is try. Make an effort. Stop blaming everybody and everything on the outside and just worship God. And watch peace come in every single time. It's a gift we all have. We don't exercise it. We'd rather just sit there in the middle of the night and knock back to sleep because we're blaming everything. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to overcome this? It's impossible. It is impossible for men, but all things are possible for God. So when you rejoice in the middle of the night and start praising and worshiping him, and watch the peace come in every single time, and let that be your go-to. Always cry out to him, no matter how many times you lose your peace in a day. Go back and just start praising him. Watch the peace stay. Eventually it becomes easier and easier, and all of a sudden you have a foundation of peace. And that they can't rob you anymore because you have a foundation of peace. Because you believe and you know that he's there for you. So keeping that in mind, let's have a great week, guys. Amen. We have Wednesday night service at 7:30. It's a great night. We're coming out and fellowshipping. We put that message on the website. And Sunday service, you guys know what time it is, starts at 10 o'clock for worship, 11 for the word. So have a great week, guys. Amen. Oh, and prayer clause. Sarah, give them out. She loves passing the prayer clause out.
Give Madeline time.
Look at that.
And be safe for the holidays. And Happy New Year if I don't see you.